Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about forgiveness, and especially this super important question: are you sure that you are really forgiven by God? I mean, there's no question really bigger than that, is there? I mean, we need to know that we are friends with God, that God and me be mates, that we go through life in a great friendship together, that I'm actually forgiven. Are you sure and confident, can you be so today, that you really, really are good with God, that you are really forgiven your sins in Him? Or is that someone in doubt, or are you still on His bad side, in trouble, under His wrath, and in trouble? So let's take a look today at the forgiveness of our sins and being sure in that forgiveness and friendship with God through Jesus Christ. What God teaches us about that for our encouragement and refreshment in the Lord. First of all, when you look at forgiveness in Scripture, the word that is used in the New Testament in the Greek is the word aphiemi, which means to forgive. But what that word means as well is to let go from one's power, to dismiss, to let go free, to let escape. Those are really great ways to describe it, because when someone sins against you, when someone does wrong against you, then justice, the balances of it have been tipped, haven't they? They've hurt you. In order to bring justice again, there has to be payback. The person is in debt to you for having hurt you. You want to make things right again and bring back balances, paying of the debt. Or if we have sinned against God, that we need that debt to be paid. Now, what is it in the world when a person does not forgive but exacts payment? Someone sins against you and then you exact payment. What's that called? Revenge. You guys are good. Revenge. Meaning that you hurt me, I'm going to come now hurt you. I'm going to make you pay. I'm going to exact the debt that you owe me to establish justice again. And so the world operates that way. But God calls us to forgive, to let the persons go from your power, to dismiss them, to let them go free, to let them escape. Let's talk about now God's forgiveness to us. Why do we need to be forgiven by Him? Well, first off, because we are in debt to Him for our sins. We've tipped the balances of justice, and something needs to be paid back. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And actually, it says in Isaiah chapter 50, look at this, it says, "Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions," basically, "I put you away." So we were sold. So let's take a look at that. Debt. So here's some money. Here's the other side here. When we sin against God, that's a sin. That's another sin. That's another sin. We have to pay back all this that we've sinned against Him. And actually, our sins are so mighty and so great that it is just absolutely full. So many sins we could never pay back. We are in super debt to God. Is God going to exact this payment from us? Or can we be forgiven and have this debt paid? So the number one reason we need to be forgiven by God is because we're in debt to Him. Justice must be served. The second reason is because sin, it's by its very nature, breaks our friendship with God and creates separation. Let's read about that in Isaiah chapter 59. Turning over here, we read, God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it can't save, or His ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He does not hear." So what happens when we sin against God is not only are we in debt to God, but secondly, picture this. We have, it goes this way. Here's God with the shining light of glory. Here's us on the other side of the wood. And what happens is we were supposed to be all together in friendship with God. But what sin does, an axe. You thought I'd have an axe behind here? Do you know? Now you're not going to fall asleep, right? Sin comes along into the relationship and whack causes separation, a distance. You go from a state of peace to a state of war. And we were at war with God. A state of war existed on account of our sins. Therefore, we needed to be forgiven, not only because we were in debt to Him, but because also a state of war existed. In fact, you can see this playing out even in human relationships all the time, can't you? A husband and wife, for example, let's say they love each other. Here's the husband, here's the wife. They love together. They love each other. One day, though, they do wrong against each other and hurt and sin against each other. Unless they forgive each other, what happens? A separation occurs. They turn their faces away from each other. They feel cold come over their soul. They want to depart, maybe even go into a separate room, maybe even take up a hotel, maybe even separate for a while, because the sin has created separation and a state of war now exists. So that's the second reason we need to be forgiven by God, not only on account of our debt, but because a state of war exists until that sin is taken care of between God and man. Third reason that we need to be forgiven is that sin has a result. It ends in death. That is total destruction. If you think of it in a marriage, if the husband and wife do not resolve that split that sin caused and forgive each other, it's going to create division, a state of war, and if that's not remedied in the course of time, it could end in the finality of the death of that relationship, namely divorce. So it is with God. If we sin against Him, state of war exists, we're in debt to Him. If that's not remedied, ultimately it leads to eternal separation, the death of the relationship, eternal death, eternal divorce, if you will. For we read here that Jesus says that the last day when He comes, when people are still in their sins, if they are, and not forgiven, then He, the Son of Man, will say to those at His left hand, "Depart from Me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So there you have it. Three reasons we need to be forgiven. Number one, we're in debt to God. Number two, a state of war exists between the two of us. We're separated. And number three, if not remedied, it ends in death, eternal destruction, namely hell and the outer darkness. So, what has God done for you, though, to forgive you? Let's get to the good news. What has God done for you in Jesus Christ? This is the great, wonderful joy I have to share with you. As for our debt, number one, if we open up the Bible and read in Psalm 49, consider how great our debt is. We couldn't pay it. It says, "Truly no man can ransom himself or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of his life is costly and can never suffice that he should continue to live on forever and never see the pit." So you've all sinned and I've sinned against God. Look at that. Can you pay that debt? Can you ransom your soul out of death and Sheol? You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't ever give to God the price of your life. But the good news, let's go to the rest of that psalm. Verse 15 says, "But God," thanks be to God for that, right? "But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for He will receive me." So we couldn't pay our debt to God, but what did God do for us? "I'll take that debt you owe me, all those thousands of sins piled up eternal, place them upon my son, into this cup, and he will bear them all for you and pay the debt that you might be free. You and Jesus Christ have been bought with a price. Say the word bought. Say the word purchased. You have been bought and purchased with the blood of Christ that you might be forgiven. We read in the Bible that Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The word for the ransom there is the word lutron, which means he has redeemed you. He has paid for you. He has bought you with a price. He's purchased you and won you by his shed blood on the cross. Peter says this in his letter, "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways and inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." So there's the word again. You've been purchased. You've been redeemed. You've been bought for, paid for. Isn't that fantastic? The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when you believe in him, your debt's being gone. This is what you look like. Look, there's nothing in here. No more debt to be paid. In this cup, it's empty. You are free, bought with a price. So can you be sure that you're forgiven today in Jesus Christ? That's what the Bible says. It says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be expiation for our sins." Now, you guys probably didn't use the word expiation this morning at breakfast. We don't use that word often. What's expiate mean? Hilasmos in the Greek, atoning sacrifice, the remedy for our defilements, our expiation. Expiation means to make atonement. What's atonement? To make reparation or payment for an offense or an injury. You've been bought and purchased with Jesus' blood, debt paid. You're free. So that's wonderful news. You can be sure that you're forgiven if you're in Jesus Christ, have believed in him. Secondly, let's consider about the state of war that existed between us and God. Sin broke us apart, separated us with a great separation, and a state of war existed. But what does the Bible say? Once again, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my favorite verses. Verse 19 says, "In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation." What does that mean? Reconcile. Reconcile means there was war. They were separated and turned apart against each other. To reconcile means to bring two warring parties back into a state of peace together. Reconciliation. They've gotten rid of the barrier, and now they can come back together again as friends. That's what God has done for us and for you in Jesus Christ. He's reconciled. God reconciled you to himself in Jesus. And now there's no longer a state of war, but a state of peace through, once again, Jesus Christ. We read this in the scriptures. We read, God says in Isaiah 40, "Comfort, comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her sin is pardoned, that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." So I'm up here crying to you, the war is over and peace established between you and your Creator through Jesus, his Son. Romans chapter 5, we receive this by faith. For Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to ask, do you experience that? The joy that you are actually friends of God? Such the Bible says. You're now together Friends, once again, no more war, just peace and friendship. For 1 John 1 says that we have seen, that which we've seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us, friendship with us, and that our friendship, fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So friendship all over the place through Christ. And he says, we're writing this that your joy may be complete. Are you joyful today in the friendship that you have with God? Is it really true that you're friends with God? The war is over and you're in peace? Through Christ, you are. Thirdly, we've looked at the debt has been paid. We've looked at our reconciliation. We've been brought back together. But how about this one? How about death? Because the end result of sin is death and eternal destruction and eternal darkness and death. But what do we read? Jesus says, the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Isn't that fantastic? Not to destroy, but to save. The thief, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, effervescently bubbling over, pouring out of your soul, life, namely eternal life. We read this in Romans 5:10, says, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So you have come not into death anymore. God plucked you out of that in Christ and put you into a new state, which is called friendship and life. This is a picture of Jesus hugging a person who's arrived in his kingdom. So you've put away death. That's no more. You are in life. For Jesus says, truly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes him who sent me, that person has eternal life. He doesn't come into judgment anymore, but he's passed out of death into life. That's through Jesus Christ. So I want to ask you the question then, are you actually, personally, really forgiven? Can you actually be sure and confident of that? That you and God are, you be mates, that you be friends, that you have a friendship. Can you and I lay claim to that? Well, number one, God has actually saved, through Christ, the entire world. Everybody actually has been purchased at the cross. The payment's been made for everyone's debt to God. Only you need to believe it to receive it, but it is for everybody. For when Christ was raised, he said, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and be on the third day be raised from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. So that means you and me too. And he is the expiation for our sins, the purchase price, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So actually, everybody's debt has been paid and forgiven at the cross, yet, until a person believes that, it doesn't come to him personally to save him. If you don't believe in Christ and you reject him, you are yet under the wrath of God, under death. A state of war yet exists, and you will head to disaster. But at the cross, it was achieved. Peace, debt forgiven, purchased, and faith receives it. For we read, Peter says in Acts chapter 10, he says, to him, to Jesus, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins in his name. So are you guys forgiven today? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? Then you are indeed good with God. You are mates, you're friends, you are forgiven. A state of peace exists, and God says, I want you to enjoy it. That should be the result of such things. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son, that only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the one who believes in Jesus is not condemned. So, is that how you feel today? Is that your confidence? You know, many Christians, I got to say, though they are forgiven and they've believed in Christ, yet they don't seem to experience the joy that God means for them to have. Often because, well, they still think, yeah, okay, I'm saved, but I still wrestle because I'm haunted by my former sins. They were so bad. And it destroys their peace. It destroys their joy because they're haunted by that. And they say, you know, could God really be friends with me? Because I just don't feel good enough. You ever feel like that? Ever ask that question? What's God say to you? He says, accept my word on this. And he says, for your encouragement, consider whom I have forgiven throughout history. Consider this, for example, when you think of God's forgiveness. Noah, Genesis 9, he got drunk, but God forgave him. In Judges 6, great Samson, the champion, Superman of the Bible, he slept with a prostitute and also Delilah and suffered for it. Yet God, in time, forgave him. David, in 2 Samuel 11, he slept with Bathsheba. She was the wife of another man, and he lied about it when she got pregnant, and then he had her husband killed, murdered. Could God forgive even murder, adultery, lies, and intrigue? Yet, the Bible says, God forgave David. We also see in 2 Chronicles 33 that King Manasseh, this guy, he was the worst. He practiced sorcery. He burned his children to death in fire to Satan. He worshipped demons. You can't get any worse than this guy. And yet, when he repented, the Bible says God forgave him and showed him mercy and restored him. If you get to the New Testament, you have a man on a bed who's a sinner. Jesus says, man, your sins are forgiven you. In John chapter 4, there's a woman who is divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced. Remarried on her fifth husband, and yet Jesus offered her living water, and she received it. She believed, and she was saved. If you look at Peter, he cursed himself, denying Christ at Christ's night of betrayal. So also all the disciples deserted Christ, yet God forgave them. And who's the worst of all? Paul, chief of sinners. You know, this guy raged against the church, arrested Christians, dragged them off to prison, and nodded his head, consenting to their death, like at Stephen's death. And yet, God forgave him. Is he going to not forgive you? Paul says, God forgave me, the worst of all, because I'm the poster child of God's wonderful patience for an example to all those who are to believe in him for eternal life for their encouragement. God can forgive me, he can forgive you. So do you believe it today that you are indeed forgiven? That your sins are indeed gone and you look like this? You're totally free, debt paid, purchased and won? God wants you to believe it in Jesus Christ. He wants you to enjoy that. He also says, I would also say to you, you know, sometimes people say, yeah, okay, I am forgiven. I get that. But God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. I can't let myself off the hook for what I used to do. It still haunts me, Pastor. Well, what would God say to that? He'd say, what are you doing? Why are you making a judgment as if you're the judge? I'm the judge. I'm the Supreme Court. I have declared you innocent. Who are you to condemn? We read in Romans chapter 8, 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's to condemn? And Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for you. He is the Supreme Court. You know, we've heard about Supreme Court a lot these days. That's earth. Heaven's Supreme Court, nothing higher. You can't have an appeals court higher than that called by your name. Okay? If God has said, I declare you innocent, forgiven, acquitted, free, redeemed, purchased, won, friends, then don't exalt yourself above the throne of God. Accept his word and just forget your own questionings and doubts. For his word is the one that stands. And God wants us to be joyful about that. The result of this whole sermon and message of God should be peace in your soul and joy. Think about the woman that was a sinner in Luke chapter 7, and she went to the Pharisee's house, remember? She was a terrible, probably prostitute or whatever. And she wept at Jesus' feet, wiped them with her hair, and the Pharisee was like, if Jesus were a prophet, he'd know that this woman's a sinner, wouldn't let this sinner touch him. Simon, I have something to say to you, says Jesus. What is it? Says the Pharisee. Says, well, a certain creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, the other only 50. Now, when each of them couldn't pay the debt, he forgave both of them. Which of them will love him the more? Which do you think? The one who owed 500 or the one who owed 50? 500, says the Pharisee. I suppose the one to whom he forgave more. And Jesus says, you've answered rightly. This woman, this sinner, she has great sins, but you can see that she has been forgiven greatly, for she loves much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. In other words, if you feel that you have so many sins and they haunt you still, how about this? Instead of thinking how terrible your sins are, let that focus you on the fact that Jesus forgave that many and love them all the more. Because Jesus forgave us so many sins that we might not be haunted the rest of our lives by our sins, but have exuberant joy. Wow, he forgave me that much? Jesus, I'm yours. And God says, I want you to go forward from this day forward, confident that we're friends, and live out the joy of that. For the Bible says, Romans 11, that God has consigned all men to disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. And the scripture consigned all things to sin, that what was promised of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And the fruit of all this is this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And then along with that, God says, now that I've forgiven you freely, let you go, let you escape, paid your debt for you, not exacted judgment and payment, I want you to do that for each other. Go and forgive others their sins. Let them off scot-free like I let you off scot-free, because that's going to bring healing vertically with me and healing horizontally with each other. Reconciliation. And that's going to provide a great place for my kingdom to grow up in your life. If you're a husband and a wife and you've been at odds with each other, turned aside, forgive each other and do it every night. And kiss each other goodnight. And same with your friends, maybe not kissing part, but that's going to provide the place for love to grow, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So, are you forgiven by God today? Do you know that, and can you know that personally? God says, put away your grief, your shame, and your guilt. My son has purchased you. I love you. We're friends. Go out now and enjoy that relationship with me of friendship, love, joy, confidence, and peace through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen.